Oh, this song's the best.
Remember him? He was so tough, and that voice is the way he speaks sounds like the way he raps. When he yells at his wife.
Dr. Jen!
He really sounds like this when he yells at his wife. Or Dr. Jen Berman.
When he raps fast, he talks just like he raps.
He does.
It's about to get bad. It's about to get bad. You keep coming at me. It's about to get bad. It's scary.
It's not going
to
be pretty. It's not going to be pretty.
You got all these women, all these bitches talking about. They want answers instead of why guys do this.
Bitches want to lie. Yeah.
Yeah.
Man. When he talks really fast. Yeah. Exactly. It's crazy.
Yeah. When he gets upset, it's scary. He puts his head in his hand. You know he's about to blow up. And then
explode. Do you think he ever, like, laid a hand on his wife? Because he is so angry.
I honestly don't think so.
No, you don't?
I don't know why. I really do believe. I know it sounds stupid, but I do believe he loves her.
I do, too.
I just don't think he knows what love is.
Love is a crazy thing. You know that song, Love is a Wonderful Thing? That song's a lie. Love is a confusing thing. It's very confusing the way people show love. I mean, here's another. Remember this one? I feel like he's going to beat me up now.
Yeah, I know. I don't want to talk about
it. You know, ma-na-ma-na-ma. I used to have his CDs and stuff. Come on! This is what I think about when he comes on the screen. I'm like, whoa, what you really want?
Safety. I want safety.
DMX. No kidding, dude. Ride or die. He scares me a little bit. Okay. So anyway, the show, it's blowing my mind, the show. Of course, you guys, Dr. Jen is on Cosmo Radio every weeknight at 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, the Love and Sex Show with Dr. Jen. And I remember hearing all like these, like, you know, whispers and like people coming around saying, oh, Dr. Jen has a new show on TV. And I'm like, well, what's going to be? And people were like, it's going to be on VH1. And I was like, that's going to be major. And then I heard it was from, I believe, the same producers as the Dr. Drew Show, Celebrity Rehab. And I was like, whoa, this is going to be crazy amazing. And then when I started seeing the advertisements on VH1, I was like blown away. I think I like it better than Celebrity Rehab.
Oh my God. It's my favorite show on TV right now.
Me too. And it's A, entertaining because you get to watch all these reality TV stars and they're so, so interesting. And you know all of them. It's also interesting because, you know, if you're in a relationship or if you've ever been in a relationship, you can relate to so much stuff that's going on. Or, you know, I actually said to someone recently, it makes me want to make out with my husband because he's not DMX. And I mean, it makes you appreciate your relationship. It makes you see the flaws in your relationship. It's entertaining. It's all around pretty brilliant. And right now we have Dr. Jen hanging out with us. Hey, girl. Hey.
Hey, how are you?
Hi, Dr. Jen.
We are good, Dr. I am blown away by the show, first and foremost, can I say.
Thank you. It's a pretty amazing show, and it's been a pretty incredible experience doing the show, being part of the show, and working with this cast has been just such a deep and meaningful experience.
Oh, my God. So I have, like, a million questions for you. Some of them pretty, you know, ambiguous. Some of them very specific to the show.
Okay.
Because I've been watching it. I think I missed a little bit of the second episode.
Okay.
But I did see DMX, like, exploding, you know. I mean, I think he might have exploded every single episode since the show started.
Yes.
First and foremost, Dr. Jen, do you think DMX has a substance abuse problem on top of all the relationship stuff?
Has a history, a very public history of a substance abuse problem, but the rules at the facility were pretty hardcore, and I know that there was an article in a magazine that came out claiming that people were drinking, but the truth is that people were monitored around the clock. Everybody was, not just DMX, but everybody was monitored around the clock, and it was a substance-free facility.
Right.
And with substances, but they were confiscated.
Right. He did. Mm. He came with Hennessy, I believe it was. Yeah. It was blurred out, but I think I made it out.
Yeah, it was Hennessy.
Okay.
And then offered one of the counselors a sip.
Oh, yes, he did. And he was like, just turn around. Yeah. DMX. Yeah. He is scary.
Yeah.
Were you scared at him at any moment during taping?
No, before I came into the show, I hadn't heard of him. I hadn't heard his music. All I knew was that this rapper was coming in who had been arrested like 50 times. And I thought to myself, what am I getting myself into?
Oh my God.
I was a little nervous, but I really, from the first session when I met him, he walked in and there was something that felt very familiar to me about him, and I just knew I could help him,
mm-hmm.
and I knew he would resist me, but I also knew that I was in a really safe environment,
right.
and that if I could get through to him, I could make a huge difference in his life, and I'm the kind of person and the kind of therapist that when I get my eye on something, I am pretty unrelenting, and I just wasn't going to give up on him because I just felt like this was a man who needed help, and that if he could open himself up to that he would get a lot of help.
Yeah, and I believe he really wants it.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. He like doesn't completely reject you, and he's not completely unreasonable.
No, he isn't. He's an incredibly bright guy.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
So smart. And when he gets insight that he connects with, it's truly magical. He's a really amazing guy, and he is not exactly what you expect him to be. And as you
right.
see, as the season unfolds, you watch him open himself up to therapy, and it's really one of the most moving things I've ever seen.
Well,
he makes himself so vulnerable. It's incredible.
Speaking
yeah.
of moving and vulnerable, I was crying on this past Wednesday's episode. I think it was the one where with you and Casey.
Yeah.
Oh my God. And you started crying. And I was wondering, do you get that emotional with most of your patients, or was there something special?
It is not typical for me to cry in the session at all.
Uh-huh.
But it was, his pain in the room was so visceral. It, as he described it, I could just feel what it felt like for him. And I went there with him. Like, there are times where you have to be really kind of more, not the word isn't really objective, but where you have to kind of be a little more distant with a client. But I was really in the trenches with him. And I think also, in retrospect, I think it's what he needed. He needed to know that someone was there with him.
Right.
And I wasn't so hysterical that he had to take care of me during the session in any way whatsoever.
No, not at all.
It didn't seem like Vienna was with him.
No.
It also, when he saw how much I cared, it
right.
was a turning point for him.
And it allows him to be honest and open with you. Because, I mean, and the truth is, how could he be honest and open with Vienna and their relationship when we saw the aftermath? Now, here's the thing. I don't know if you're, like, seeing stuff, you know, in the editing room or anything, but, like, when the show airs, because there's stuff that goes on that maybe you're not there for, mm-hmm. do you see new things? Like, did you know what happened with Vienna and Casey after that amazingly emotional session where she basically said to him, I didn't get anything from that session.
I knew about it. I hadn't witnessed it because I had gone into another session with someone else, but I
right.
was made aware of it. And, you know, I kind of have a lot of eyes and ears in the facility. I have Dr. Mike, I have Sarah, I have Tom,
right.
I have Rachel. So I kind of know what's going on at all times, pretty much. But sometimes I have to go into another session. And I think
right.
that, you know, one of the things with Vienna's reaction to Casey is that, you know, people have come down pretty hard on her.
Yes.
But also what they have to understand is she wanted help too. And
right.
as a therapist, what she didn't understand is that sometimes in couples therapy, your job is to be an empathic witness.
Right.
And it's not that everyone's having a breakthrough at every moment, but
sometimes right.
the breakthrough is that your partner has a breakthrough and you're able to be there for them and be loving and be kind and be compassionate.
Right.
And she didn't get that.
Well, what made me so mad, Dr. Jen, was like, she really, you know, she comes there because she wants things to be good with Casey. And her biggest complaint is Casey has a dark side and it's Machiavellian. And, you know, it only comes out when he's drinking and he has demons. So she almost says in so many ways, if he wasn't like that ever, then everything would be fine. So if that's the problem in their relationship and you are working actively to address those demons so that he can cope with the issues and stop burying them with substances and then be that whole partner she needs, it is helping her.
100%. I agree 100%.
I felt like she was so short-sighted and it made me kind of feel like I don't think her and Casey are going to make it because I think after this therapy, Casey's going to see that he doesn't need someone like Vienna. I think she's very selfish.
And also what you have to understand, and more will be revealed as the season goes on,
right.
is that every one of these people have had their own childhood trauma.
And, right.
And, you know, she has her own history that made her have that reaction to him. And, you know, I think one of the things I love about the show is that you know, before coming on this, I think a lot of these reality stars were viewed as caricatures.
Yes.
You know, he's the rapper, she's the vixen, you know, she's the Jersey Shore girl who gets drunk and is crazy. But what you see on this show, it's kind of like, I don't know if you remember The Breakfast Club, the movie,
yes,
that at the end of the movie where one of the characters says, you know, you see us as you want to see us, but what we realize is that we all have a jock and a princess and a this and a that. That's what came out here, is that everyone in this group, you would think that they didn't have similarities, but everyone identified with one another at some point. And I think every viewer is going to identify with something in each one of these people.
Right. Now, yeah, when you're treating people, Dr. Jen, you're very impartial, and that's a byproduct of your training and like how you need to be. But do you see that there's two people in a relationship, and yes, it takes two to tango and two to fight and, yep, you know, two to hurt and two not to have trust. But at the same time, do you see that there is always one person who is more responsible for the problems than another?
There is one person that's what we call in therapy the identified patient, which is the person who tends to be the more obvious culprit.
Mm-hmm.
But generally it is 50-50. I mean, look, you know, Casey did his share of stuff that contributed to this relationship. You know, whether he was drinking or not, he did things that were incredibly hurtful to Vienna, and she had reactions and understandable reactions.
Right, right. Also, what do you think about Angelina and Seth? What do you think that their problem is?
I love that he can spice ribs in the house, by the way. I think that's a facility I'd go to.
Angelina and Chris are an incredibly passionate, volatile couple who have a terrible time listening to each other, and the way they talk to each other leaves a lot of room for work.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. But who do you think is the, what'd you call it? Is it the
identified?
Yeah.
I think it's very easy to point the finger at Angelina because of the way she talks to him.
Right.
But I also she has a lot of trust issues, and it will come out exactly why.
Okay.
But, you know, her trust issues affect the relationship. But also there are things that Chris did or does that contributed to that, and some things come out in some sessions where you'll see where you go, of course she doesn't trust him. This makes complete sense. So it's really, it takes two.
Also, Linda and her man, Charlie.
Yeah.
Okay, so 29 year age difference.
Yeah.
Realistically, can this be a long term relationship?
I have to say, you know, I came in with my own biases about them. I was like, 29 years,
right,
crazy. I'm going to have to break this couple up. This is really unhealthy. When you see this relationship over the course of the season, it's going to blow your mind. And Charlie is a very old soul, and really, he is incredible with her. They have something really special. I'm just going to say they have something really special, and they have their issues. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
They have their issues, and you'll see those issues come out, and you'll see us work through many of them on the show. But it taught me to put aside my own biases a lot.
It's hard to do with them because the age difference is so big. With the boys, the Rodney and
Rodney and Riken.
Yeah. One of the things they said when they first got to the house was we haven't slept in the same bed in a really long time, and they have to sleep in the same bed in the house.
Yeah.
Do you think that alone is part of their therapy? I mean, is it?
Well, I think it forced them to be near each other, to be close to each other. And, you know, obviously nobody has to have sex, nobody has to touch each other. But I think it did create some intimacy and some connection with them that did help move the therapy work along. It did kind of force them to face their issues in a really important way.
Mm. You guys, Dr. Jen hanging out with us right now. Of course, you know her from Cosmo Radio. She's on this channel right here, right now, at 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, Monday through Friday, on the Love and Sex Show with Dr. Jen, where you guys can actually call up and get advice directly from her. And she, of course, has this great new show on VH1. It's called Couples Therapy, Wednesday nights at 9 p.m. And it is amazing, amazing. Did you realize when going to the show that it was going to, I mean, affect so many couples? Were you aware of that? Because I feel like my relationship is getting better just from watching the show.
Oh, thank you. That means so much to me. You know, when the producers came to me, and as you mentioned, they're the same producers as Celebrity Rehab, I thought, this is going to be a profound experience.
Mm-hmm.
And when we started the show, one of the producers said to me, look, I'm not interested in creating things. I'm interested in documenting what happens. And
Right. Said
we have a tremendous respect for the therapy process. We want for you to just do what you do. And it was an incredible experience for me as a therapist where I really, they just stood back and let me do my thing and created such a safe environment for me to do my work and also for all of the cast members, many of whom had been really burned by reality TV. And that
yeah.
was a topic that came up in our group sessions a lot, being worried about being edited to look a certain way. And when they realized that that wasn't happening here, it really allowed deep therapy to be done. And yes, in a certain sense, I had an idea that this was going to be a profound experience. But truthfully, I did not realize the sort of the depth of it, because you never know when people are going to open up and when they're not. And
right.
you know, some people had certain motivations coming in, and they weren't necessarily to do deep work.
Right,
but
right.
What happened, one of the magic things about group is that when one person sees another person going to that deep place, they go, oh, okay, I guess it's safe to do that here, and they go too. And so I just have so much respect for this cast who just really, every one of them just opened their hearts and really took risks.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, we got amazing results. I mean, I'm still in touch with almost all of the cast.
Wow.
They reached out to me, and, you know, it's changed their lives in
yeah.
so many ways, and I'm so proud of that.
Was it your intent going into it to get them all back together as couples?
It was my intent to move them to whatever place they needed to move to be in a more peaceful position with themselves and with each other.
Right.
Yeah, Taylor was saying this earlier, and I like it too. One of my favorite parts of the show is when the other couples actually interact with the other couples during the group
yeah.
therapy. They're actually, you could see them like learning or growing by not reprimanding, but by talking to the other couples.
Right.
Oh, it's amazing. And there's an episode coming up next week, episode 4 in group, where DMX relates to Riken.
Really?
That is, it was so powerful. It was just, you know, it was incredible.
You know, Riken, I think it was Riken that said it to Angelina, or it was Rodney, because they just came on, so I'm having, you know, and they're both really beautiful,
yeah,
so sometimes I have a hard time telling
apart. Rodney's the one with the dark hair who was in the jacuzzi.
Okay, yes. Okay, so he said to her, you know, the difference between love and, there's a big difference between love and happiness. And he said, you know, we love each other, but we don't make each other happy. Can you sure. explain that? I thought it was very poignant.
The love between these two guys is really beautiful, and it's really deep, and you can feel it when you're in the room with them. And at the same time, they have had a lot of conflicts and bad patterns in their relationship that they didn't know how to stop these patterns. And I think also they didn't necessarily know what all of them were, and they needed sort of a therapist to come in and say, hey, look, yes, you're right, he's doing X, Y, and Z, but let's talk about what you're doing.
Right.
And that was an important shift for them.
Man, this yeah. it's just, there's just like so much. Actually, watching the couples referee each other's fightings at time, like for specifically Vienna and Casey, and then Linda and Charlie got involved.
Yeah.
You know, my husband and I, and we are on, and I know that you know lots of stuff, Dr. Jen, because the first time I met you, I was like, ah, just like unleashed. And I was in the middle of planning a wedding, which is really stressful.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's been 2 years now, and I think we finally are learning how to speak to one another.
Yeah, it's
and.
Hard.
It's so, so important. But in the beginning, I remember, like, we would bicker a lot, and sometimes we'd fight in front of our friends, and I would be like, oh, my God, we're like that couple that fights.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, we're the couple. But now watching the show, I'm like, I don't know if that's really a bad thing, because you kind of gain perspective. Like, people can get involved and help you see what the two of you can't necessarily see.
Well, I think it's not good to have friends be the referees.
Right.
And it takes time to learn to fight fairly. I'm actually working right now on an ebook all about fighting fairly, because I think it's such an important topic. And most
it's huge.
Don't know how to fight fairly.
That's why people get divorced. That's why relationships don't work out, because people don't know how to fight fairly.
And also what most people don't realize, especially in that first year of marriage, the first year is very romanticized, like, oh, you're newlyweds and it's beautiful and it's perfect. But the truth is the first year is one of the most difficult years for most couples, and it has one of the highest divorce rates.
I'm not surprised.
Only followed by the year after having a child.
Of course,
oh, wow.
Of course.
And it takes a while to learn to negotiate and to work with your partner and to be a partner, because marriage is a lot about negotiation and finding compromise, and it's hard.
What do you think the most important part of a relationship is? Because I know you talked about trust in this past Wednesday's episode.
And that's a big issue, but I also think learning to negotiate.
Learning to negotiate
as a couple, because you will always have conflicts, you will always have differences in opinions, and you always have to learn to find some middle ground.
Right. Negotiation is very, yeah. I'm very good at negotiating my side.
Yeah.
It's his side that never really gets heard.
I understand, Taylor, that being good at negotiation doesn't mean getting your way. That being good at negotiation means being willing to not get your way a lot of the time. And that's hard. It's
right.
Hard for everybody.
Well,
you know what? Hard for me and my marriage.
Oh, yeah. God, it's really hard. Well, you know what? Kenny and I were talking about this, I think it was just a couple days ago. And we were saying, I said, you know, a lot of times in relationships, I think that women come with a compromise already. That's their first line of negotiation is maybe they've already had an internal discussion and they're like, okay, this is what I'm comfortable with. And so when they come, they're like, here's what I'm comfortable with. And the guy comes from the opposite, like his like bottom line, but you're like, no, there's no wiggle room. I'm at my negotiation top. I'm there because I already thought it through. Like, I feel like women can be a little bit more empathetic, a little bit more thoughtful, so we think it through as to what's going to make them comfortable. But then when we get into the negotiation, it's almost like if you were to take a job and you were to give them, you know, your, well, the like, you know, let's say hypothetically, the most I'll take is, or the least I'll take is $50,000.
Sure. Yeah.
And, but you come and then they're like, no, 30. And you're like, no, for real, 50. That's it. That's it.
Yeah.
But you should have started your negotiation higher in order to get to that middle ground.
Yeah, I don't know if all women come in from that negotiation point that you're talking about, but I do think it's important to be honest.
Right.
To come in and to say, okay, this is what I really want. And I do think that as women, we are taught to kind of defer our needs to try to be nice.
Right.
You know, it's this sort of tyranny of niceness. And I think that instead of just trying to be nice, we need to be honest about what we want.
Because
that's, you know, you're never going to get what you want unless you ask. And I think it's important for our partners to know, and also for our partners to have the opportunity to recognize that we are giving, that we are compromising, that we are negotiating,
right,
not just getting what we want. So I do think it's important to let them know.
I sometimes almost feel like I should come in differently and then know where my ending point is, and he'll think we've compromised.
You should come in from the truth of what you
right.
really want.
But then I think he thinks negotiation has begun because he's like a stern businessman. He's like, let's go. And I'm like, no,
yeah.
I'm being honest. I've thought about you. I've thought about me. I've weighed out the pros and cons. And I think that this is the compromise. Like, I come in with the compromise already.
Sure. And I think it's that you have to start verbalizing that. Say, okay, this is what I really want. I might be willing to compromise and do this because I think it's in our best interest as a couple.
Yes.
Because and also when you use that kind of language, like, I think this is what's in our best interest, not necessarily mine, but ours.
Right.
It's a really nice modeling of how to be a team player in the relationship.
And that's a huge thing, being a team, being each other's partners. It's the most, in my opinion, important thing in the relationship is to feel that teammateship.
Yeah. And you know, look, I get calls on the Love and Sex Show with Dr. Jen all the time where people are really focused on what they want and getting their way.
Yeah.
And it's hard to let go. Look, we all want our own way. We all want that, but that's not what relationships are made of.
It's true. Dr. Ren, is there anything in your mind, because you're dealing with a lot of stuff with these people on VH1's Couples Therapy. You guys on Wednesday nights at 9 p.m., by the way. I mean, you have DMX, who fathered 6 children outside of his marriage. 6!
Yes. And also had one on the way during filming.
Holy shit. No, he didn't.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And she still, she just loves him.
Ugh.
She does.
It's unbelievable.
But
yeah, she really does. They go back such a long way. They are childhood sweethearts.
Right.
And there's something really, it's almost like they reparented each other as kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, their experience together goes back so far and so deep that it is, it's intense. It's really intense.
But, you know, looking at them, I mean, I would just say, throw in the friggin' towel to her. I feel bad for her. But do you think, in your mind, is there anything that someone could do that could actually ruin a relationship forever, short of, like, murdering, you know, somebody?
Well, it depends on the relationship.
Okay.
You know, there are some relationships where one baby out of wedlock would be enough to ruin the relationship.
Yeah.
You know, to Shira, first of all, she's an incredibly... she's an angelic person.
She's a
really.
Saint, is what
yeah,
she is.
Really, and she's a woman of faith,
mm-hmm.
and she is someone who she really gets him. And you know, I know that a lot of people on Twitter have kind of talked about, you know, he abuses her and this is terrible. And yes, it's terrible the way he's talked to her. And you'll see that a shift happen in that. But also there is some, she gets him and she gets that he's not doing that because he's trying to hurt her. He's doing that because he's compulsive that way, and he doesn't, that's him acting out. That's not him trying to hurt her.
Right.
Because of a flaw in him. It doesn't excuse it. It doesn't make it okay. But I think she gets that it's not personal. It's not about her. It's a flaw in him. And I think that's one of the things that has allowed her to stay by his side. And you know, in our first session, you know, she looked at him and she said, like, I get that this isn't about me.
You know, if I have a question, Dr. Jen. If Tashira called into the Love and Sex show without you knowing and getting to like to be introduced to DMX and understanding his layers, he's an onion of a human being with all those layers.
Oh yeah.
What would your advice be from the phone call?
That's a really good question.
You have 20 seconds to answer.
It would probably be to not stick around,
right,
and also to find her voice in the relationship, and you'll see her finding her voice in the relationship.
Man, oh, this show is so good, Dr. Jen. Thank you so much for hanging out with us.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you so much. Anytime.
The show is so good, Dr. Jen. I texted you this, but you're so good.
You're so good.
It's a good. The show has such an effect.
And I would like to move into your home, your private home, with you and your husband and your kids. And I would like to bring my husband, and I would just like you to therapize us forever.
Sounds great.
I'm jealous. I'm serious. I'm jealous of these cast members, and I'm in therapy right now, you know, just for me, but I believe very strongly in couples therapy, and I think therapy is, I look forward to my therapy sessions, and I'm like, am I the only one that's jealous of that these couples get to, you know, have this intensive therapy for 2 weeks? But I'm saying, you know, I know I'm not there yet, but like someday, if I'm big enough, I would like to be under your watch in that house on that show.
I will let the producers know.
Let them know, please. My husband and I desperately need it. Dr. Jen, thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thanks so much for having me on.
Of course. And you guys, don't forget to check out Dr. Jen's new show on VH1. It's called Couples Therapy. And it's Wednesdays at 9 o'clock on VH1. You guys, thank you so much. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back in just a little bit.
You're waking up with the Fun Kids Club Squad team. It's Wake Up with Taylor on Cosmo Radio, Sirius XM 109, and on the Sirius XM smartphone apps.